So we've got a cold opening this evening. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you want to jump into the chat room, if you can, because, well, you know, I can't. It's just a reality. The production machine is sort of, well, I mean, I don't think it's physically frozen. It could be. I mean, it's a toasty 50 degrees here in the studio. But it ain't doing anything, so I loaded Java on another machine, and Pupkis. Yeah, no chat room for me. Kind of makes me wonder about the efficacy of Java, but that's a discussion for another day. So I hope you're having a lovely time in the chat room. I hope lots and lots of people come by the chat room this evening. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com/chatroom is the address, you know, if your machine will cooperate with Java. Ha! Yeah. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn for Friday, the 26th day of February, 2016. Friday on the Front Porch will begin. Well, the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable portion of Friday on the Front Porch will begin in about 58 minutes or so and change or whatnot. I feel compelled to mention somewhat urgently that this is a listener-supported broadcast attempt. We've been chugging along without the good offices of George Soros or any of the limousine liberals or any of those folks. You know, no Leonardo DiCaprio, no Robert Redford, and that's not a slur on them. I mean, they're busy. No, we run on listener contributions, and February's been tough. It's been really tough. And so we find ourselves this evening in, well, you know, a hole. Yeah. It's not as bad as it could have been, but it's not good. I would like to especially send out thanks to James. Thank you very kindly. Thanks to James and to Diane in Kansasstan during the program last night as well. We are not looking at a $700 hole this evening, but rather only a $500 hole this evening. Thank you very kindly, both of you. And hopefully, we will find some combination of members of the Horn Family Commune Community Congregation this evening who will help us not, finish the week in a great, big, deep, giant, freaky hole, and B, not do ourselves out of the beat the Swede all year long challenge. Okay, remember, it's if we beat the Swede this month, the monthly challenge amount goes up to $60. So that means we got to raise the $500 this evening and another $200 on Monday, which is the 29th, because this is a leap year. So there we go. That being the case, doing the $500 part is kind of critical. Now, you know, the interface, the contribution interface is at headonradionetwork.com under the tab Contribute, which, mercifully, does not require Java. Yay! And that means just about anybody who wants to can access it, which, and so there's a field there. You fill, you know, name, address, that kind of thing. There's a couple of fields about you know, what you do working for Junior Samples down to the used car lot where the number is BR549. But you don't have to fill those out. You can just leave those blank, and it's always all about getting to the next screen. Just get to the next screen, and there you can make your choice, PayPal account, Visa, MasterCard, Discover, American Express, what have you. And thereby you can... help us keep this on the air. Because if we have a month where we close, you know, $700 in the red, that doesn't make... And look, this community, this radio operation goes from month to month. We don't, you know, we don't have this big sustaining who's this thingy. We don't. We go from month to month because, you know, we're progressives. We don't have a bottomless pit of right-wing, dark money, super PACs, yada, yada, yada. We don't have one of those. Uh-uh. Oh, damn it. Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, pointing out, bad timing. Hillary just took a $350,000 contribution from Alice the Drunk Walton. Yeah, that's tough timing. That is, Carol. But then again, I don't think Alice the Drunk Walton was ever, or any of the Waltons, sober, hallucinating, ran a plane into a building or skied into a tree. I don't think any of those Waltons were ever going to be much help. Yeah, Waltons are about Waltons. Right. So without putting too fine a point on it, which I fear I've already done, this is a mess. You know, I said at the beginning of the week that we had about $1,000 in bills to pay this week and that we needed to not get into a hole during any single one of them. And here we are, which means there are $1,000 of bills not getting paid. That's stuff like internet bills and telephony. See how it works. Yeah. If you prefer to participate by the U.S. Postal Service, if you're going to do that, shoot me a note, please, just so I'll know, so I can tell Boss Man Wayne, and he can reach into the echo chamber that is the horn mailbox with a little bit of confidence. That mailing address is... Yeah, I know, Carol. George Soros sent the horns check to Hillary, too. She's not just sucking all the oxygen out of the room, it's the money! Yeah. It's the money. But the mailing address is the horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318 Beckley, BECKLEY, WV 25801. You suppose if I went whole hog hilarian and started screaming socialism, and demanded that we be realistic and study, you think maybe we could? Nah, I don't know. Ask anybody running an independent broadcast operation. Political years are brutal. They truly are. They're brutal. Because the political campaigning, again, sucks all the oxygen and money out of the room. So there you go. Like I said, it's Friday on the front porch. And we've got, we have a wealth. And you know, I just got a note saying, you know, I'm broke. I can't help. And I'm sorry. And that makes me feel like a real heel for even mentioning this. But I have learned over the course of the years that if I don't, everybody just assumes that, well, you know, no, the horn runs on love and unicorn farts. I had a note from David, one of the many members of the Fraternity of David, who said, I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate you. I wish I had more money because you are worth more than $10 a month. I'm disabled and I live on Social Security in a small 401k. I also give Bernie $10 a month, so when the time comes, maybe I can give you $20 a month. The only reason I mentioned the disability is to explain why I don't call in or talk on Friday night on the front porch. I have a terrible voice and I'm too embarrassed for people to hear me talk much. Anyway, I just wanted you to know. I look forward to Friday on the front porch tonight. Thank you. Thank you, David. Thank you very kindly. And these notes are constantly rolling in. There's meaning here for people in this community. And it's not meaning that I create. It's meaning that you create. People reach out and communicate on the program, and then they worry about what they've said. Our good friend Harry in Baltimore called in last night, and I thought we had a magnificent conversation about the whole issue of Bernie and reparations and the universe in which that existed, and binary world questions that are either yes or no, and never maybe. But after that was done, just shortly before airtime, Harry began worrying about, I use the word worrying. Harry began worrying about the way he might have been perceived or misperceived in that conversation. And he said, I hope you will, even if simply at my request, please let people know that I'm not at all opposed to reparations. I'm not at all opposed to major social programs that would target the 500 years of plunder and exploitation of black people. I am certainly not a racist. Harry, no one thought you were. Nobody. I guarantee you nobody in the Horn family community congregation thought you were. He continues, communication among human beings, I have painfully learned over 5 or 6 decades, is always fraught with misunderstanding. No matter how careful I or others talking to me have been, human communication is so easy to be distorted, corrupted, manipulated, or simply harmed by the clumsy and often ambiguous words and sentence constructions that we are forced to use. Carol points out, she says, Harry, that was a conversation worth having. I can disagree without being offended, as can we all. And there's not much point to a mutual agreement society, and I don't think a lot of people were openly disagreeing with your points. It's a matter of debate and dialogue, and discussion, and goodwill based collegiality, in the form of conversation. If everybody's just sitting around saying yes to each other, nobody learns anything. And nothing, absolutely nothing, gets figured out. See what I mean? Another listener, I'm not sure if he prefers to remain anonymous or not, says, I've already probably contributed more than I should have to the Horn this month, and it's probably true. And just kind of emphasizing that there's this little core of people who keep this going. We don't have anywhere near 100 subscribers. And we need 400 at $10 a month. And thank you to all of you who do subscribe. Because in many instances, you are the ones who take big hunks out of the hole that we get ourselves into from time to time. Thank you, Jack. Jack in Shreveport has gotten us started, and it means that we are now better than we were at the beginning of the program. Thank you very, very kindly, Jack. So, as I mentioned toward the end of the program, there was brutal business afoot as we came to the close of the program. It had been breaking through the course of the program. I had not mentioned it because we didn't have sufficient data at the time. But by the time that we were coming to the end of the program, we knew that at least, four people were dead. That number has been revised to, according to the, it is at least four. The New York Times reports it as gunman kills three at Kansas factory before dying in shootout. That's four. Three plus one is four. And of course, today, the 26th day of February, is the four-year anniversary of an evening that a young black man went up to the 7-Eleven for some Skittles and an Arizona brand iced tea. I imagine the fine, upstanding capitalists who produce Arizona iced tea would just assume that their brand stopped being associated with this, but too bad. Gang, you're part of the pastiche now. And Trayvon Martin, with his Skittles and his Arizona iced tea, well, he never quite got home, because he ran into a cop wannabe with an ugly, nasty, vile, hate-filled, racist, bigot streak. And he killed Trayvon Martin in cold blood. You'll notice I'm using Trayvon Martin's name and not the name of his killer. There's a reason. Remember, for it is the doom of men that they forget. T. Walton, who is just a T and a dot, and Walton, is the sheriff of Harvey County, Kansas. As I related the story toward the end of the program last night, Diane and the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansastan pointed out that she knew nothing of this. And it just, it affected her deeply. These things affect us all deeply. I think they affect us particularly deeply, because this is where I have to say the same thing I say after every one of these. Because nothing is going to change. Because nothing is going to be any different. In the particular instance of what happened in Harvey County, Kansas yesterday, it turned out that the man who did the killing, and the death toll really hasn't been fully calculated yet, because 10 of the people he shot were merely critically wounded. So they some of those, horrifyingly to say, may still be in the process of becoming dead. The road between Heston, Kansas, and Newton, Kansas, was not a good place to be yesterday afternoon. The killer lived in Newton, Kansas. Whose name, in typical right-wing fashion, for right-wing states, has not been released. At least not according to the stories I've read. He started out, he was a former Xcel Industries employee, and he was a lawful gun owner. He obtained a firearm, a very, very powerful, high-capacity firearm, very easily and decided to go on a killing spree. As the New York Times writes, the name of the gunman was not released and no motive was given. At this point in time, here in the greatest country in the world on earth, now, today, forever in the universe, amen, one nation under God, indivisible, etc. I don't even have the strength of the reverb, frankly. Motive has become passé. These things just happen. The gun just went off. Yeah. Cedric. His name was given as Cedric something. That's right, Carol. Thank you. But officially, the name was not released. So, I mention all of this because three innocents were dead. The gunman was dead. 10 people are critically injured out of 14 total wounded. He started shooting. As he went down the road, he was just shooting at anything that moved. And then he got to his former place of employee and got serious. Yeah. But I mention that as a way of pointing out that here in Merca, and you know, the goddess of irony is getting a little bit intense for my tastes. Because this was all taking place, even as they were, they had the pump, I don't know, stuffed up Donald Trump's ass, and were inflating his ego or whatever. The handlers for little Marco Rubio were busy trying to keep the flop sweat mopped off of his brow long enough to get the pancake to stick. Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz was in his dressing room, flagellating himself and making sure the hair shirt fit nice and snug, religious maniac that he is. Ben Carson was getting a nap, and John Kasuch, he was doing what he does best, sitting around and wondering what in the happened to the Republican Party that he joined up a lifetime ago. And of course, there was nothing to be had about gun violence in the United States. I started out watching the GOP pageant. And I got about as far as Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, talking about his daddy coming to America with $100 stuffed in his drawers. And just as an aside, I got to tell you, having seen photographs of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American for a really long time, the mental image that generated put me right off my gas station pizza. Yeah. Because suddenly I had an image of Rafael Eduardo, the young Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American for a very long time, as a stripper. And I don't say this with any sort of homo or heteroerotic bias. I mean, I'm straight, but there's some good-looking guys out there. I can do that. I'm comfortable enough to go, man, you know, a good-looking guy. I can do that. I mean, Paul Newman, Robert Redford. No, really, we could use a check, Bob. Tell Leo. Good-looking men, and you know, you don't have to. You know, it's just an acknowledgement of, you know, it's like looking at Michelangelo's David. Well, I mean, the face. But Rafael Eduardo Cruz, young or old, with $101 bills crammed in his BVDs, little corners and portions of George Washington's face sticking out from under the elastic and everything. No, thank you. And so I sort of slowly faded away out of the GOP pageant thereafter. And as far as I can tell, I didn't miss anything. I mean, they yelled at each other. Last night was, oh, Jesus, somebody please take the T-Rump down a peg or all is lost. I mean, you almost got the idea that there were a little miniature Wicked Witch of the Wests zooming around in circles in each of the other green rooms spelling out Surrender Dorothy. But not a word. Not a word about the plague that has been visited upon our land. Not a word. Not a damn peep. Because this has nothing to do with guns. This has to do with mental illness, which the Republicans, of course, don't have a goddamn bit of interest in addressing. Even if it wasn't, well, you get the idea. But the larger point of all of this is to point out that, well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Heston, Kansas. But we have to move on. Because the NRA roulette wheel o' death, the NRA death lottery, the NRA Keno ball drop of mortality, well, the next game has already been played. So we didn't even, I mean, Kalamazoo. We got Heston, Kansas. Heston, Kansas. We got Mason County, Washington. Today. Belfair, Washington. In along the estuary land of the Puget Sound, roughly southwest, west-southwest of Seattle, more directly southwest of Bremerton, where there was a hostage situation and a standoff. And five people who started the day alive, thanks to the NRA, have finished the day dead. It was earlier this morning when a man called the cops, called 911, I guess, and said he had shot two children, a woman, and one other person. That, according to Mason County Sheriff Deputy Chief Ryan Sperling. None of the information, according to the Seattle Times, none of that information has been confirmed. But they did feel comfortable in writing the lead to the news story as five people are dead after a shooting and hours-long standoff at a home near Belfair. So when the phone call was made, assuming that it was, when the phone call was made, law enforcement went lickety-split out to the home. But the man made it clear he was armed with a handgun. And so the police did not storm the structure. The Washington State Patrol got an aircraft up in the air to circle the home and take photographs most of the afternoon. Police were able to look at it as he flew in circles. The man in question never fired a single shot at police. He was just working up the courage to finish the brutal work in which he was engaged. Now, it wasn't necessarily got up Friday alive and finished Friday, no. A man named Jack Piggott, who lives near that home, said he heard gunshots around 8:15 p.m. last night, Thursday. But Mr. Piggott, because Merca, said he thought it was just a matter of somebody out there target shooting. The gunshots, I figured, was target practice. I never thought more about it. Because gunfire is fucking ubiquitous in the United States. But Mr. Piggott starts getting calls early on Friday morning. And he says, I'm looking at the TV, and there's a picture of my road. I said, my God, that's my driveway. There's SWAT cars halfway down the road. I'm kind of surprised this happened up here in my paradise. It's just a sad state of affairs, by golly. I've lost four neighbors, evidently. Nah, Mr. Piggott, you didn't lose anybody. We know exactly where to find them. We can find them at the county morgue, FOBNRA. Mm-hmm. As negotiations with the suspect proceeded, they did manage to get a living 12-year-old girl out of the house. She was one of the family members. But eventually, the suspect walked outside the house and killed himself and saved the people of Mason County the cost of a trial. But not the cost of having five members of its community peremptorily removed from it. So, when and where's the next one, America? Who's next on the big NRA roulette wheel? Who's got the little folded up square of paper with the blood red dot on it? And will we even have time to take notice or grieve before the next one that follows that? If we take it back a moment to Heston, Kansas, the driving and shooting part, well, that seems a little copycatish relative to Kalamazoo, Michigan, doesn't it? Because it most decidedly feels that way to me. I don't know. And it really does. Make it particularly painful to realize that apparently a dangerous plurality, if not a majority, of the United States is okay with it. I mean, even after what we all... Steve in New York put this on my Facebook page... because his fury was almost uncontainable, because that dumb son of a bitch, Senator Pat Roberts of Kansas, after what happened in Heston yesterday, and I would think that we would know better by now, but of course we don't, because we're the United States, the land of we can't, including we can't learn, tweeted out thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers, some bitches, thoughts and prayers. That's all I got, thoughts and prayers. No real solutions, mind you, just thoughts and prayers. They ain't worth piss down a dry well, but thoughts and prayers, y'all. Mm-hmm. It's tough. And it's... I'm sick to death. No, not to death. Not to death, Bob. Not to death. But I'm sick of this being the topic of the program. I mean, part of the reason, A, the situation was fluid and didn't have all the details and everything, but the other reason that I didn't bring it out earlier in the program, I could have brought it out during our conversation with Anthony Conright, because I'm sure he's got a take. But I didn't. Because I knew it would consume the rest of the program. Because we desperately want a solution, and we know solutions can be had. We know that. But we also know that so many members of our political class are bought, paid for, and owned outright by the NRA, that we will just continue to bleed. And that we won't even get, and that no individual community now will even get the common decency of a 24-hour news cycle to do its bleeding in. The marvelously coherent Diane in Kansas stand merely notes Pat Roberts has long outlived his usefulness. Hear, hear. Hear, hear. Tim from L.A. says, motive of the shooting? Jesus? Why not? Why not? So, let's see. Yes, Cedric Ford, the shooter in Heston, Kansas, was indeed African American. Tim from L.A. says, considering that he's a black mass shooter, don't say black mass, Tim, and not a white Christian, I noticed no comment from the right. I wonder if it was retaliation because of the injustice against black folks. Is this the next step from a peaceful Black Lives Matter where people feel that protesting does not work? It reminds me of what Jackson Brown wrote. On the radio talk shows and the TV, you hear one thing again and again, how the USA stands for freedom, and we come to the aid of a friend. But who are the ones we call our friends, these governments killing their own, or the people who finally can't take anymore, and they pick up a gun or a brick or a stone? We don't know. We know he was a former, and former is an important word here, I think, a former employee there at the lawnmower factory. I saw one reference that said he'd been a painter there. So, here we are, 18 minutes before the hour, and once again, our sick obsession with firearms has preempted the conversation. You know, I should mention, y'all are really, really perceptive. Last night, not too far from the end of the program, Steve in New York wrote and said, is it just me? Or has the evening had a somber tone to it? And because I am the way I am, I went and checked out the archive, and by God, it was there. The tone was somber. And maybe that's why. Because of what I knew was going on in the background. Because I knew what we'd have to talk about. Carol points out, unlike the guy in Kalamazoo, Michigan, the media won't find anyone to refer to the Kansas shooter as a nice guy, a family man who just liked guns. Too black. That is unfortunately way too likely to rue. Way too likely. But there is other stuff out there. There is other stuff out there. But in the context of guns, you probably already know about this. But it's a different story when we take it in a different context. I dare and defy some goddamn Republican to say he took me in the wrong context. Because, the only thing they know how to say is, he took me out of context. And that's what they say when you read the first three paragraphs before what they said, the awful thing that they said, and then you read the three paragraphs after the awful thing that they took me out, he've taken me out of context. Well, what do you say we deal with it in a different context instead then? Did you happen to catch And this story was brought to my attention by both Sandra and by Harry. Did you catch the Washington Post story about where it was that Fat Dead Tony was going? And by the way, now that he's no longer alive, we can call him Fat Dead Tony, and it's not fat shaming. Because it's just a fact of the matter that being fat and 79 are not conducive to becoming fat and 80. As an overweight guy, I try to pay attention. But we can't, I will. But this business about where Fat Dead Tony was going, Scalia? Why, he was going to a ranch in Cibolo, the Cibolo Ranch, where they were having a meeting of the ancient and loyal Order of the Knights of St. Hubertus. No shit. It was a secret society of people who enjoyed killing animals that lived in boxes. Like birds. The U.S. chapter of the International Order of St. Hubertus lists a suite on M Street Northwest in the district as its headquarters, although the address is only a mailbox in the United States Postal Service store. It was launched in 1966 at the famous Bohemian Club in San Francisco, which is associated with the whole Bohemian Grove thing. And I mean, the minute that that thing went out on the internet, yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. There were probably klaxons going off over at Alex Jones Central. The International Order of St. Hubertus, according to its website, is a true knightly order in the historical tradition. We may have to come back to that. In 1695... Count Franz Anton von Spork. Spork? Really? That's a name? Spork? Founded the society in Bohemia, which is in modern-day Czech Republic. Is this the real life? No, stop it! No singing! Count von Spork. Back when the children were little, and they, it was a little bit charming when they would fight amongst themselves. Became less so as they got older, but I had to walk away, trying to keep them from seeing my body quivering from the laughter that I was desperately trying not to get out. When Margie one day I looked at I think it was Ferg she looked at, and she said, "Bubby, make no mistake, I will mutilate you with a spork." And I sort of gave the secret Kincaid high sign to Agnes now we don't talk like that, children, because I was incapable of speech at that moment. It was all just sometimes not much of a father. But yes. In 1695, Count Franz Anton von Spork founded the Society of Saint, or the Order of Saint Hubertus, and apparently Saint Hubertus is the patron saint of guys who like to go out in the woods wearing green robes and kill stuff. They've got them. I mean, no, really, they, it's men only, of course, men only. Nothing homoerotic about that. No. Fat Dead Tony did not like homoerotic anything. I mean, it was just men only. I mean, you know, just like Opus Dei and, you know, you could be a 32nd degree Opus Dei, and the only women members they allowed were women who were allowed to come in and swab toilets for Jesus, and the male members of Opus Dei, and, you know, with the barbed wire around the leg and the hair shirts and the self-flagellating and the to bring out your dead, you know, whack. I mean, no, really, dark green robes that had a big old cross on it and a Latin motto, Deum Diligite Animalia Diligentes, which means we like to shoot animals raised in boxes. No, it means honoring God by honoring his creatures, paren, by killing them, close paren. I don't know, 1695 Bohemia, the Sporks may very well have been good friend of the Blüchers. Yeah. They call themselves Ordens Brothers, which I thought would be Ordenbrüden. Don't fuck with me being able to use my German R. That much I'm good at. But, of course, it's Czech. Or Bohemian. Bismillah. Stop it! This was like the warm-up for an investiture, you know, an initiation when somebody has to ride a goat or something or catch a greased pig. They call it an investiture, and they're going to have it on March the 10th in Charleston, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. As Harry pointed out, what can I officially say that Scalia, aside from his phony cult of originalism, also consorted with a truly weird gun and hunting cult? Oh, he consorted with all kinds of weirdos and took hundreds of free trips all over the country at the behest of organizations, and it's all tax-free, like the Federalist Society, who curiously had flown Fat Dead Tony and Clarence Curly Coke Can Thomas all over the place, but has, oddly enough, never invited any of the perceived liberal justices of the Supreme Court to join in any of their reindeer shooting games. Me running. I know. Steve just says, Ubertus. Is this Robin Hood? Pray louder, Christian. Your God can't hear you. Note coming from Thomas. Subject line, Fat Dead Tony. Beg to differ. If the goddess of irony has had her way with him, he's thinning out. I'd also like to point out the dickless wonder is the bird in the box now. Also, thank you for talking about Trayvon Martin. I thought I'd be the only one who did. Didn't hear all of Mr. Hartman's guest-hosted show, but yeah, it seemed to be all pageant today. Not for nothing. At one point, we had a Bork, and he was a judge. Oh, early toaster nomination for Steve in New York. Subject line, Clarence Thomas. Saint Pubertus? Woo! Oh, yes. See, nobody knows how to draw me out of a funk like you guys do. Remind me to hang on to that. The ancient and loyal order of Saint Pubertus. Going back to the issue of the guy in Kansas. David in South Carolina says, I heard he had been served with one of those keep-away papers, otherwise I think called a restraining order, and that set him off. Never is availability of guns an actual cause. Oh, now there's some reverse paranoia for you. Marty suggesting, anybody ever wonder how it is that Alex Jones knows so much about Bohemian Grove as opposed to Bohemian Rhapsody? I mean, could it be that he's a big high up in it and it's all a false flag to keep people from knowing what really happens? Oh, yeah. Under the subject line, more math for you. GK in Minnesota says, I have a kid from Haiti in my world drum class who thinks it's crazy here with all the gun violence. As for my contribution, I'd just like to hear you do math aloud, and that's why it's $16.66. Well, I can do that, because thanks to the miracle of the remaining balance of the Open Carry Roundup Society's first Roundup Challenge, of which there is a little, that has immediately become $17, because we added 34 to it from the Open Carry Roundup Society. 34 cents. That's 17 bucks. That means the fundraising total has now been reduced to 400 and... Wait. $463. $463. And along comes Roger in Minnesota, who wants to know if there's Roundup money. Yes, there is. And from the original Secret Roundup Society challenge, we round up from $2.47 to $3, adding 53 cents to the total to take us down to, lo and behold, $460. Thank you, Roger. Thank you very kindly. Thank you, Paul. $450. Thank you very kindly indeed. And now, thank you, Roy. $430. And thank you, Charlene. $330. $330 to go to... finish the week okay. Well, and you know what, Steve? You damned well deserve to. Steve said, I had to pat myself on the back and actually chuckled at my own joke. No. St. Pubertus is restaurant quality. It absolutely is. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm kind of... I've closed the window. Nobody has to come out and sit on the ledge with me and flick cigarette butts at the wing nuts and the birthers and the deathers and the baggers and the birchers and the booger eaters below. Yay. And so we can go in good form into the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable portion of the program. Of course, you know how to. If you've never been involved with it, I trust you know how. Ergo, and to wit, if you've never been involved, you send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, Sparky, of course, being the longtime, indefatigable, inveterate, veteran moderator of the Horn Malloy Skype chat group. And he'll throw out the breadcrumb trail, and you'll be... I did not. The breadcrumb trail. And you'll be part of the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable. Of course, we also have the stress line available for people who are not able to use Skype. And the Skype chat group can hear you. You just can't hear them. Oy, one of these days I'll get it sorted out. Another... Another weekend's on the way. One dares hope. Hey, thank you, Henry. Thank you very kindly. We are now down to $280 to go for fundraising for the evening. Thank you. We might just get this done. It would be wonderful if we did. And then we'd only have to have Monday's 200 to raise to beat the Swede 2 months in a row. 2 months of Swede beating. You can't beat that. Robin Hood. Don't you worry. Never fear. Robin Hood will soon be here. So let's get the Horn Malloy Skype chat group fired up. Jump on in. We have had a string of absolutely magnificent Horn Malloy Skype chat groups. And I'll have you know, I did not take the night off this evening, even though over at my favorite little joint in Fayetteville, the Secret Sandwich Society. And, you know, I don't just take nights off. No. Did somebody say that Tom Hartman had a guest host today? yeah. But I was sorely tempted because, well, representatives of the New Belgium Brewery, and I remember when our dear friend, the Horn resident optimist, Preston, told us about that operation and a lot of the good green things that they are doing. But representatives from the New Belgium Brewing Company have finally found Fayetteville, West Virginia, and they were going to be at Secret Sandwich Society tonight for what was being styled a tap takeover. It sounds fun, doesn't it? You damn Skippy. Apparently, there were going to be numerous examples of the brewer's art as practiced by the folks at New Belgium. Ooh, thank you, Dogman. Dogman says 1554 is the bomb. So, I didn't take part. I didn't. Maybe there'll be a little bit left over after the program. Hope, 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 hope. Hope in one stein and, no, we're not going to do that in the other. We're just going to hope in one stein and hopefully there'll be enough room left for some good brew. So, okay, break time coming up. $280 in fundraising to do for the rest of the evening. It's makeable. It's doable. Onward to the end of the shortest, longest month of the year, February. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. And I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be back.
In some of my songs, I have casually mentioned the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. Unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Makes him feel mellow. whiskey's too rough. Champagne costs too much. Vodka puts my mouth in gear. This little refrain should help me explain. As a matter of fact, I like beer.
He likes beer.
My wife often frowns when we're out on the town, and I'm wearing a suit and a tie. She's sipping vermouth, and she thinks I'm uncouth when I yell as the waiter goes by.
Just stay muted.
I like beer.
Until he comes in.
It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Makes him feel mellow.
Whiskey's too rough, champagne costs too much. Vodka puts my mouth in gear. While this little refrain should help me explain. As a matter of fact, I like beer.
He likes beer.
Last night I dreamed that I passed from the scene, and I went to a place so sublime. All the water was clear and tasted like beer. Then they turned it all into wine. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind. Sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Makes him feel mellow.
Whiskey's too rough. Champagne costs too much. Vodka puts my mouth in gear. All this little refrain should help me explain. As a matter of fact, I love beer.
Yes, he likes beer.
And consider that that song was written before the microbrewing, craft brewing revolution. I wonder if Tom T. Hall likes it even better now. I do. I remember those grim and dismal days when the choices were between Miller, Budweiser, and, well, hell, back then we couldn't even get Coors, but hell, there was Sterling Big Mouths, and, yeah, bad, bad beer. It is Friday on the Front Porch on the Horn. It's 8 minutes past the hour. We got about an hour and 52 minutes of rock-solid, extraordinary, ordinary roundtable conversation to get into. The stress line is open if you want to talk to the group but don't necessarily care about them. You get it, yeah. We'll get that sorted out, I promise. Just as quick as the check from George Soros comes in. Jesus. Although, I got to tell you, I've been looking at a mixer. And I found out recently that my friend and colleague, Rick Smith, actually has one of them, and he says it is magnificent because it's actually designed for people who do what we do. As it stands, most people, you know, mixers are designed for recording and music, but this thing, no, it's designed for people who broadcast. Talk radio, even. Yeah, it's cool. So, hey, Sparky.
Hey, you caught me.
Busted.
I didn't know when you were going to break to me. Sometimes you go on for a while.
Well, damning with faint praise, I suppose.
I just want to say something, but that when you send a contact request to me,
mm-hmm.
Make sure you put it's for the Friday on the Front Porch or something along with the request, because I've been getting requests from people in the middle of the week, and I don't know if it's for that or not.
Yeah, I think that is a well taken suggestion, Sparky, because I get them from time to time. I got a contact request myself earlier this week, and you know there was nothing. Just please add me as a contact, and I wrote, "Are you a member of the Horn family?" Never heard another word back. So I guess you know I guess they're like Nigerian princes. With money, they need us to help them claim because the king had cancer or something. I guess they're on Skype too, right?
Yeah, I guess some from Ghana and other places, but I got one the other day from Perth, Australia.
Well, now we have friends in Perth.
But I tried to send a message back to him without adding him as a contact, but I never heard back. That's why I said that.
Well, if it was Jennifer and or Graham, those were yes, those were good.
Well, I got the one person that was in here a week or so ago. He's in my contact list. So.
Yeah, now he's in Canberra.
Okay.
Perth is, but you know where Perth is.
Yeah, it's on the other side of the...
Perth is halfway to India. It's the part where you have to stop walking and start swimming.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a good group in this evening. Billable Rick is here. Tracy's here. Charlie and Gallatin is here. And Ron from the Frozen North is here. Good evening, one and all. Who wants to jump out and get it going?
What's this thing that Melissa Harris Perry basically told MSNBC to kiss her black ass?
No, do what?
Oh, I sent the link to the story. She basically says, "I am not your mammy," and stuff.
Wait,
like
did
that.
Wait, did you send the story to me?
I sent it to the Skype in the chatting part of the Skype group.
Oh, okay, because I didn't necessarily see that.
No, she's like, you know what?
Oh, got it. Stand by. Looking at it now.
Yeah, buddy.
I could summarize.
I think that would probably make you smile because, you know, that is a serious angry black woman, okay? It's like a very highly intelligent angry black woman at that. So, yeah. So she can cuss you out without cussing you out.
Yeah, basically, I've read the story, Tracy, and she's complaining that she's been preempted by this whole election coverage for the last few months on MSNBC to the point where she hasn't even been on the air in the last few months, and they finally wanted her to, like, do her show, I guess, this Saturday, and she basically said, fuck that, I'm out. I'm not working Saturday. I'm not your mammy.
I'm not your mammy. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not a brown bobblehead.
Right.
I am not owned.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Well, my one opportunity to meet her was nothing if not charming. She seemed to me a lovely human being.
Oh yeah, I heard she is just nothing but amazing. And I see, this is when I love it when you wrong a sister and she gets really ugly with you. It's what my mom categorizes as nice, nasty, and you don't even realize you're being cussed out because she hasn't used any cussed out words. You know, she doesn't talk like I do because I just go off. But you know, there'd be F bombs and all this.
Well, I love the MSNBC response. And this exciting and unpredictable presidential primary season, many of our daytime programs have been temporarily upended by breaking political coverage, including MHP. This reaction is really surprising, confusing, and disappointing.
Yeah.
See, they tried to counter her with the "I'm not mad, I'm disappointed" defense.
Right.
I don't know that that's going to work.
It's not going to play out very well.
I mean, that new the Andrew Lack guy, I guess, the new I don't know, program director or whatever, the new, you know, executive in charge there at MSNBC sounds like a real prick. You know?
Yeah. She's like, "You have taken away our show."
Yeah.
In other words, there's not many shows where there's intelligent black people who are, you know, progressives and stuff like that on, you know, a major network or cable network or what have you. And you're going to mess with that shit for real? Is she stupid?
Well, they apparently are. I mean,
they
you know, their highest rated show was The Ed Show, and they basically kicked him off the air.
Well, I mean, Chris Hayes is a genuine talent, and a genuinely decent human being, good father, good husband. And when they preempted him for the Trump infomercial for Mika and Scar, I was really proud that I didn't get up the next morning and read Chris Hayes puts brick through Phil Griffin's window.
Right.
Because they've been making these programming choices that are just awful, disastrous. Harry mentioned the interview between Bernie Sanders and Chris Matthews. I give credit to Bernie Sanders for not saying no. I'll talk to Chris Hayes. I'll talk to Larry O'Donnell. I'll certainly talk to Rachel. I'm not going to talk to one of my opponents' surrogates, because see, Chris Matthews is a surrogate for Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton. Because I mean, why is Chris Matthews even still on the air when his wife is running for Congress?
Oh.
And is running for Congress as a Democrat who is trying to coattail off of Hillary Clinton.
Oh.
I'm even Fox took Huckabee's show off the air once he had his aborted run for the White House, you know?
Aborted run.
Yeah.
Yeah, you couldn't resist, could you?
Hey! I got another one. Did you guys hear that Donald Trump had a huge announcement at like 12 o'clock Eastern time today?
Oh yes,
is that the one about Chris Christie.
And that announcement was huge. Yes.
Yes, Christie endorsed him.
And what did he say about Rubio? Because I saw that as well, but I didn't see the whole. The under the fold part.
After the debate, he was referring to him as a choke artist at the debate. he basically turned to his right and pointed towards Rubio and said, he's a choke artist, and then he turned to the left and pointed his left hand towards Cruz, and he said,
he's a liar. but by the same, I mean, I bailed out on the live coverage, I did. But I did notice in the follow-ups that
wait, you're supposed to say he's a liar. You were supposed to say it better than that. You should have said he's a suitor, so you should have said he's a liar. You didn't do that right, and I take umbrage with that, Bob.
I saw a video of the one part. I thought it was a Three Stooges routine.
Yeah. I thought he was going to reach over and whack them each on the head or something, right?
Trump is Mo and the other two, Larry and Curly.
Yeah,
but I love the part where Trump said that he was being.
Is Ben Carson Shep? I'm sorry.
Oh no, I think he's Curly Joe.
He just wanted somebody to attack him.
Yeah.
He just wants somebody to pay attention to him.
No, but when Trump said he was being audited because of his Christian values.
His what?
Because of his Christian values.
Well, just like the Green family in Oklahoma, they get audited because of their Christian values, right? Not because they like claim like millions of dollars in charitable contribution deductions. That couldn't be.
No, I tell you what. A quick observation here in regard to what you raised, Tracy, about Melissa Harris Perry. Simply this via Carol. MSNBC sure does know how to celebrate Black History Month.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed, Bambi.
They've made February even shorter for her show, you know?
Right, exactly.
They preempted her the whole month, right?
The whole month. It's like, come on now. For our political... First of all, like you said, these pageants that have been going on, they're not... It's not breaking news to me would be as far as the Republican debates or something was that one of them told the truth or said something about gun violence or climate change.
Yeah.
See, yeah. Now that would be okay. Now, if you're going to preempt me for that, then I'm not mad. I'll be like, okay, somebody said something about gun violence in a way that is true, that we need to do something about it. Not that it was mental, you know, it's because of mental health disorder, And as soon as I saw that the guy in Kansas, really, really, you are just really tailgating me, you dick.
I think they're trying to tank the station, really, as a, you know, get rid of the liberal network. I mean, seriously, I mean, it's ever since they hired that new guy, I think Rick mentioned, and it's been going downhill steadily.
Well, if Rachel Maddow walks off that network.
Oh, if Rachel Maddow says it, I'm out, it just, you know, drops the mic and a peace out, then there's no point.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really watch MSNBC like I used to, but I really don't watch it. I just rather watch, you know, The Outsiders or...
Oh, did we... No spoilers. Did we love the latest episode, Tracy?
Yes, we loved the latest episode. Yes.
But
I just have to say that my man, Big Asa, is a nutbag. Yes, he is.
Oh, he's a special kind of crazy.
But he's that kind of crazy that, okay, yeah, I'm crazy, but I'm crazy as a fox. And if I can't have it, no, I will tear it.
Yeah, because
I will burn down this mountain.
Yeah, because
I let anybody get what I feel is mine. I'm like, oh my God, entitlement goes everywhere. It doesn't matter who you are. It's that white male privilege of entitlement. It's like, this is mine because I said so.
Well, yeah, and everybody, you know, those first couple episodes, everybody thinks Big Foster's the mean one.
No. Mm-mm.
I love the modern take on jousting. Let's just say that.
Oh, that was awesome.
I don't know if you heard, but I mentioned it the other night. I went looking around through the credits and everything. The composer for the general score, not the banjo intro, but the score. Appears to be George Harrison's son.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they've sunk some. I mean, if you consider what we've seen in these first five episodes, they have sunk some coin into this.
Yeah, this ain't no just, you know, Lifetime television, you know,
a special Lifetime television event. Mm-hmm. No,
no, this. This has some production quality, and I'm so glad that I found it. Like I said, I am still tickled by the fact that up until you mentioned Outsiders, we did not have Time Warner did not have WGN at all.
Well, I mean, one of the telling things about this series is that it is the highest rated thing WGN America has ever done.
I can see why. And like I well, see, did I really have nothing to compare it to? Because like I said, I've never had the station. So I've seen billboards and TV shows that they've advertised, but like again, Time Warner didn't have WGN. So it's like,
well, to be fair, the last time I watched WGN, they were still carrying carrying Cubs broadcasts with Harry Carey doing the play-by-play.
Oh. When, how long ago has he been? How long ago did he die?
Precisely.
Okay. But speaking of, now, I think they're even trying to up their game. Have you, because I know you're watching it online. When you watch it online, do they show scenes or from the show that's coming on, I guess, after this one? Or Underground, I think is what it's called, about the Underground Railroad?
Don't know.
Okay, well, go to that box that has the wires. They're going to be doing a show. I think it is called Underground, and it's
It starts in a week or two.
Black cast. Well, there's because they have to have scary white people.
I plan on watching it.
But it's Underground Railroad. And I'm like, wow, so we
could,
you know.
Maybe losing Tracy.
And then I've been doing.
Yeah, Tracy, you're breaking up some. Oh, Jack, I heard your voice, but welcome to the group, by the way.
Hey, how exciting is that? because, you know, it's one of the black movies and TV shows and stuff, and, you know, made for television movie is, you know, when it's like, okay, they throw all everything in Black History Month. And then we don't get anything else for another 11, you know, another 12 months.
That's enough of the black. It's March. Now we're all now we're all Irish.
We're all Irish. It's like, oh God. So yeah, so we got so Chris Christie endorses Trump. Who do you think the Jebbia is going to endorse, or is he just so pissed off that he's just mad that he just didn't.
It's kind of like what Steve in New York said. Yeah, Chris Christie threw both of his supporters to Trump. I mean, who's gonna get Jebbia's $120 million Iowa delegate?
Right. You know, I just wish they could just throw some of that money our way. It boggles the mind that they're able to spend so much money, and yeah, for what? Just so they could be the head supreme. What do you call it again? The head supreme. I always get them messed up. The republic that is our whatever you call it, the United States. It's not even.
Now I'm confused.
I get confused. I you know, it's been a day. It's been a very long day.
Are you driving or sitting still?
No, I am driving. I am sitting on the 405 south, heading to
the 6 and 7/8. Yes.
And 5, 6, and 7/8. heading to El Segundo for a hockey game. And fortunately, it's the one time. I mean, we're stuck in traffic, but at least, you know, we don't have that far to go. I hate LA traffic. I mean, I don't hate it. It's just it seems like for the past few days I have just been stuck in traffic.
Do you know what's going on, Tracy?
Huh?
Do you know why there's more traffic lately? The last few weeks in LA, gas prices are down so much. More people are driving.
And it's gone back. It's creeping back up this morning.
Oh yeah.
Gas was $1.99. I actually saw $1.99 for gas in Los Angeles, and then that same gas station, it went up to $2.09. But in other places, it's going up 30 cents because of that racket called summertime gas or whatever. And so now, because it had gotten down to $2.09 and all that, and now it's back up to ridiculous amounts of money.
Well, maybe if the gas prices go up, the traffic will drop a little bit, Tracy. Let's hope.
No, it won't. Wait a minute. It will not. It won't.
That's the worst time to be on the roads right now on the 405 at like 4:30 on a Friday afternoon.
Oh,
know?
Stop it.
Well,
what is it, about 75, 80 degrees today, Tracy?
76.
What are we about 13 seconds away from saying you have to go to the Schlossen cutoff and get out and cut off your Schlossen?
if I keep it up, Sparky's going to terminate me with prejudice, I bet.
No, it's
76 degrees. I didn't even think about how warm it is today. Bob, what is it? What's the temperature where you are right now?
Shut it, Tracy.
getting ready to rain here.
You guys need
to know that I know people who know people.
Oh,
so let's change the topic.
Oh, was that a veiled threat? What was that?
No, it's cloudy. It's cloudy and 30 here. And last night we had a little sleet blizzard, a slizzard. And it just it covered. I went out for the gas station pizza when I couldn't take any more Republican awesomeness, and damn near. Let's put it this way: I put the pernundle way down into one, took my foot off the accelerator, and just sort of hoped and prayed my way home. Five miles that took 20 minutes.
Wow.
Wow.
How are your neighbors? What's the coal smoke forecast these days, Bob, with your neighbors?
We had it last night, not so much today.
Okay.
Now I'm stoked because Sunday we are forecasted for sunshine and 63 degrees. That's Confederate Ooh. Bikini weather.
Wow. Awesome.
I'm terrified to ask, but what the hell is Confederate bikini weather?
Oh, didn't you see? It was about a year and a half ago, maybe a year or so. I posted the photograph I took of the little store across the river with the Confederate flag bikini.
No, there's just some things that I just needed to miss, and I think
it's all the white hot rage around here, and I do mean white, and I do mean rage.
So what do they have to be pissed about, Bob?
The war on coal, Ron. Common Core Agenda 21. I don't know if you caught it or not, but apparently we're going English only here in West Virginia.
Wait,
that'll be a step up,
right? I mean, does anybody even besides you and your family, Bob, and a few other people that listen to the horn, anybody really speaks English?
The argument is when you get far enough up the hollers, what you're actually hearing is the unalloyed Elizabethan English of the earliest settlers.
Mm. Yep.
Words like derisant and tooken.
And thee and thou.
Have you figured out the outsider's language?
That ain't nothing. Bless their hearts, they just made that one up by themselves.
Oh, you mean there's...
Yeah, that you know, what do they say? Giddy up. I don't know.
When they're toasting the shine.
Yeah.
You mean feral wine. Get it right.
Oh.
Because apparently there's a difference between feral wine and moonshine.
Yeah.
Because... You know, so don't. Even I know that.
Oh, the create. By the way, the creator of the program is a guy named Peter Mattei, and I found an interview that he did with some outfit, and he got to joking, and he said, "Oh yeah, I can let you know now. Our big reveal for season two is going to be Kim Kardashian on the show." So that'll be great for ratings, won't it?
Oh, man. So they're going to trash the show before I've even watched one episode.
No, it was a joke because there was
it's
more.
A joke.
There was more funny stuff that followed.
And plus, on top of that, remember there's a... when there's a... There's no spoilers thing, but, you know, the dialogue between... The black girl and the now two finger less
Hassel. Just say Hassel.
Hassel. Yeah. What a name.
That's a real name.
Okay. And when he said to her, she got offended at first, and then she realized who she was talking to. And she's like, you don't even know who these people are, do you? Or yeah, because it's like he's a hillbilly. He doesn't even have a television. You know, you don't know who this is, do you? He's looking at what I love what he said. Well, what I do know is I know she's nowhere near as pretty as you are. I'm like, oh, you player, play on, play on.
Player go
play. He got some brown sugar from what I just. I said, okay, so this is this show. I want to know how he even came up with the what. LC, was he like using dropping acid or what that he came up with this concept of all the things to come up with hillbillies?
I only got Walking Dead.
So, yeah.
Say again.
You know.
Well, I mean, yeah, yeah, awesome. there is kind of a continuum from, you know, Walking Dead and Vikings and Sons of Anarchy and boom.
And then Justified as well. You know.
Yeah. But this seems to be, I mean, it really is its own thing.
It's its own thing. It is just so well done. And just of how they do things and how, no matter how you think you might have gotten stuff figured out, no, not so much.
Where do I recognize the guy playing Asa from?
David Morse?
No. David Morse I got.
Oh, he was from Son of Anarchy. He was Opie on Son of Anarchy.
Okay. He's good.
He's good. I mean, he always plays wounded. Everything he's ever been in, he's always wounded.
The young man playing Hassel is a good, and that ain't no Granny Clampett, Lady Ray.
Lady Ray reminds me of my grandma. You see, now, Lady Ray, when I talk about my grandma Daisy, yeah.
You had a grandma Daisy.
Yes, I had a grandma Daisy. Now, my grandmother.
I love this community.
The only reason, because my dad was just the only time he would beat up on my mom is when my grandmother was out of town. Because she basically she carried a gun everywhere she went and promised him that, you know, he would lose parts of, you know, she would shoot off various and sundry body parts if he ever touched my mom again. And she wasn't kidding. She was one of those, you know, wouldn't be surprised if she didn't have carry a switchblade as well. That's the kind of woman my grandmother was. Yes, grandma. And it wasn't just Daisy, Bob. It was Daisy Lee.
Absolutely.
And I am the only firstborn daughter that escaped that middle name. Because my great-great-grandmother was Pearl Lee. My great-grandmother was Blanche Lee. My grandmother was Daisy Lee.
And my father's middle name.
Okay, so Lee. Somehow I got away with not being Tracy Lee.
Well, you know what? You're lucky. You don't have any LaViggies in your family, or any Loamies.
No.
Or any Leviros.
Leviros. No.
Yeah, my great grandmother named all her sons with the letter L.
Oh.
For instance, Loamy. Well, everybody just knew him as Coot.
I don't know what's worse.
Well, here's where it gets... Okay, oh, can I tell the weird family story now?
Oh, yeah, you gotta tell the weird family story. Instead
so...
sitting here on the 405 pissed off.
Yeah, tell him just cool... yeah, slow the roll. Got a story going.
Oh, no, we are slow. That's the problem.
Oh, okay. So, during the Civil War, there was a wealthy man around here named Colonel Imboden, Imboden, and he rounded up...
No, I'm sorry.
Stop helping, Tracy.
I'm sorry.
So, he rounded up his own unit of Confederate treason cavalry. And his home place is the home of the Fayette County Historical Society now. And it's called Contentment, you know, because Southern people name their houses.
Right.
Yeah. I've got a dear friend, and a couple of dear friends, and when they got married, well, he's a white guy, she's a black woman, and we were law school buddies, and. And Rick, Bilbo Rick, you'll recognize this. Steve will too, probably. When you're being given hypotheticals in property class, real property, it's Green Acre and Blue Acre and Red Acre. Remember?
White Acre, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Black Acre.
And exactly. And so when they bought their house, they had to come up with a name, and I'm responsible for it.
What did you do?
Well, since they were going to jointly own the property and it couldn't be Black Acre or White Acre, there is a sign that sits at the front of their driveway that merely says Zebra Acre.
Oh, that's great.
anyway, white folks name their houses. And so he rounded up his Confederate cavalry, committed treason, survived the war. And so my great-grandfather's name is LaVigie Lawrence. Okay. Oh. And there was, like I said, LaViro, but the baby was Loammy M. Bowden. Now, bear in mind, great grandmother Kincaid was married to great grandfather Kincaid.
Huh?
But if you look in the Bible where she was pulling all of these L names out, Loammy means you are not my son. And so Loammy M. Bowden, and that's just another one of those question marks in the family history. And one wonder, because the story is that great-grandmother Kincaid did all the naming. But I'm wondering if great-grandfather Kincaid might have done that one. L naming it.
You are not my son. Uh-oh.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, but we got some fun names. I mean, I wanted to trot a few of them out when we started our family. I badly wanted to name Ferg Salathiel.
You know what?
Is that a cool name or what?
Not when you try to spell that shit for the first time.
What? What's so difficult? S A L A T H I E L, Salathiel.
Right.
He'd be scarred for life, Bob, with that name.
I figured we'd call him Seth.
Well, there you go.
And I've mentioned this before, and I just love this because I can't figure out how in the world this even happens. I got another great grandfather whose name is Ozias Azarin. And here's the fun part: the Ozias is the Hellenization of the Hebrew name Hosea, but Azarin is a Persian name.
Oh, that's interesting.
And he's part of a family that goes back to a family that, just fun stuff that you find out along the way. At one point in time, one of his great grandfathers or something, when the son was born, he took a christening tithe of 1 pound of his harvested tobacco to the local Anglican church, so that the little boy could be baptized. How about that?
And the church took it, even though it was tobacco?
Back then, Rick, there was no such thing as "even though it was tobacco." Back then it was, "Holy shit, a pound of tobacco!"
Well, that's cool. Yeah,
just, you know, neat stuff. Neat stuff.
Hey, I was going to say, I've got a bird refuge update.
Oh, yes?
Apparently, as we speak now, the lawyers for I'll call them the militant malcontents, are all at Mahler looking at the site and the evidence and so forth. I guess they were there yesterday, and they also are there today. And not surprisingly, the judge declined Ammon Bundy's request to be allowed to accompany his lawyers to the site to show him where the evidence was. And apparently this judge that is assigned to the case, it's District Judge Anna J. Brown, seems to be like a real whipcracker. She wants to get the thing tried as soon as she can. Like, no, you know, she wants to have the case tried sooner than a year from now, so by like next February. It's kind of funny because the prosecutor was talking about wanting to file a I guess they're gonna the prosecutors say they're gonna file two superseding indictments against all 25 defendants. There's Judge Brown has 16 defendants, and a different judge in the court in that same court has like 9 defendants. And so the government wants to combine the two indictments into like a superseding indictment. And initially the prosecutor said, well, you know, we can, you know, we might file a second superseding indictment in 90 days. And she said, 90 days is simply beyond belief to me. If you want to, you know, bring additional charges, it had better do so promptly. So looks like it's going to be by mid-March when they're going to...
I read that, and she does seem kind of peremptory in that, Rick, because we're talking about a crime scene that involves God only knows how much. You're gonna have to bring contract archaeologists in the dead of winter to do field work.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, Sparky has told us that spring has sprung there in his part of Northern California. But when's it going to stop being shitty, out there in the Malheur?
Well, I think they're probably quite
probably
a bit higher elevation.
Month.
What's that, Sparky?
Probably next month.
Yeah. I think they're at least, I think, 5,000 feet up, I think. It's high desert out there. You're like what, about 2,000 elevation, Sparky, if that?
No, but I mean, up where my stepson lives, high, and it's like 4,000 feet. The land area in Northern California, Oregon, basically runs flat up through that way. So
okay.
Because you go where my stepson lives, you go up through Klamath Falls, and then if you go one way, you go into the high desert area. If you went the other way, you go into the forested area towards Pan.
Yeah. Well, you know, the whole thing with this, processing of the evidence at the crime scene, you know, the FBI just completed that like maybe a few days ago. And that's why they could bring the attorneys for the defendants in and look it over. And interestingly, at the same hearing a couple of days ago, I guess the prosecutor said that he was going to share the evidence that the government had accumulated with the defense lawyers in 14 days, and it includes about 300 to 500 pages of FBI reports. And the judge said that's not fast enough, so she ordered the prosecutors to turn it over by like next week, March 4th. So you know, she seems to be really trying to push this thing along. Apparently, one of the prosecutors said that the first superseding indictment is likely going to include some modification to the charges. So that may be reference to the, you know, weapons charges I expect them to bring, to the extent that weapons were
right,
either...
Or the computer tampering charges or the data crime charges.
Right.
Just as a matter of curiosity, Rick, did you happen to check to see, I mean, obviously this the prosecutor will be an Obama appointee. Did you check to see if maybe the judge is a W appointee?
It's a good chance. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
Because, I mean, among other things, they've got, and look, I mean, they've got fecal material to clean up.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Because apparently these patriots shit all over the place.
Are they gonna like do DNA examination of that to like trace?
Well, I mean, if you want, look, you know better than most that there is a duty to divulge exculpatory evidence, and failure to do so can scupper the trial.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Well, is there not going to be DNA evidence in that poo?
It's going to be all over the place.
It kind of is.
So if the shit don't fit, you must have quit.
There you go.
Oh, toaster.
Let me see when Judge Brown was appointed here. She's 63. She was appointed. Who did she replace here? Let's see. What the heck here? Where is it here? Confirmed in 1999. There you go. So, yeah, she's a Bush appointee.
No, that's a Clinton appointee.
No, Clinton, rather. Clinton, yeah. Forget it. Yeah, Clinton, yeah.
And so.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I loved how they said, I read the article. Sparky provided it to me, and I saw the part where they said, "I do not understand how it is that I am innocent till proven guilty, and yet I am standing here in handcuffs."
Yeah, you're under arrest, you boob.
Yeah. I mean, it's like this moment in white privilege brought to you by the Bundy Clan
And the Forrest Gump Society.
Right. So we have Black History Month. Can we find a month of the year that we can just call White Privilege Month, and every day of the month we'll have a different story of some dumbass white guy not getting it?
I think that's the rest of the year, Bob.
That's three or four stories a day.
That's the other 11 months of the year, Bob.
Because that was the first thing. Today's White Privilege Month story comes to us from Portland, Oregon. Right.
Oh my God! I don't.
Because three or four of the dipshits stood up and said that.
Yeah.
If I am innocent till proven guilty, why am I in chains?
Yeah, that's what Payne said. I don't know who he is exactly. He said, "It's difficult to understand the presumption of innocence when I've spent the last month in a jail cell and led around in chains wherever I go." Payne said. Ryan Bundy said, "We're being treated as we're guilty, so I don't understand the presumption of innocence." Jason Patrick said, "I understand I have no rights at all. You're the federal government. You're going to do whatever you want." And then David Fry said, "It's weird. Innocent until proven guilty? Shackled up?" So there you go. That's my attempted imitation.
You made the last guy sound a little Valley dude.
Well, he's kind of a UFO dude, so I kind of wanted him to sound like X-File-ish, you know?
The truth is out there.
There you go. What?
Oh, yoy, yoy.
And I guess they've tallied the cost of the occupation. Right now it's $3.3 million for the 41-day occupation, and that doesn't include figures from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. That just includes the police response, the cost of shuttering the schools, you know, supplies such as food, flashlight batteries, things of that nature. So
snacks.
There you go.
I can't wait for the evidence disclosure, because I want to see if they inventoried the dildos.
There you go. Yeah. And I wonder if they're going to test them to see if they were used.
Oh, damn!
Exculpatory evidence, baby.
Are we going to do the wall weenies thing, Bob?
I think this would be a lovely time for the wall weenies thing, Ron.
I think there should be a petition that we have to sit down to the special prosecutor and say, you know, make sure you're doing your due diligence dildo checking, and make sure there's
due diligence.
say that four times.
Yeah.
No, but something Ron just mentioned. Anybody pay attention to the background last night in the pageant?
The sponsor background logo shit?
No, the wall of weenies. It looked like it was either a wall of weenies or a wall of capsules of speed or what? What'd you, Ron?
It was a wall of dildos, Bob, in very patriotic colors. Biggins, too.
Freedom does.
Freedom!
I posted a couple of update stories in the chat.
Star Spangled Bangers. Don't leave me hanging, y'all.
No, you're just gonna. Sorry, Tracy. You're on your own now.
Oh, come on.
You want to talk about the warm weather? Enjoy the warm weather.
75 degrees.
It's raining here.
We need some of that, Sparky. Maybe we're gonna get some this weekend. I don't know.
I don't want it to rain while I'm driving on. At 5 o'clock on a Friday.
I wouldn't want it to rain on you either, Tracy.
Because that is a recipe for disaster. People people can't drive when it's dry.
It's a sliding scale, just like in the South. Two snowflakes falling within a mile of each other will create a 72 car pileup. Rain in Southern California reduces you. Two drops of rain on dry pavement reduce you to martial law.
Mm-hmm. Pretty close to that, yeah.
Well, it's like when a few years back, 2009. Was it 2009? Yeah, I think it was. I went to visit my brother in Atlanta. We had gone to Disney. Alex and I had flown out to Disney World. My brother and his family drove down. And then Alex and I flew up to Atlanta to spend the rest of the Christmas vacation. And it snowed. I mean, it shut. And I think the last time, so me being me, I'm like, okay, great. So you mean the last time it snowed in Atlanta, I would have been a slave? What? Because it snowed on Christmas Day. And it was Armageddon. It shut down the entire city.
Oh, yeah. Well, but it's understandable. Well, and they don't have any need for them. If everybody would just come to the, just have the common sense to stay home for, you know, 2 or 3 hours, it'll be gone.
Yeah. Exactly. It was beautiful, but it kind of pissed me off because Alex had never been to Atlanta, and so we didn't get to really see the city. I mean, it cleared up, like you said, and well, everybody had to stay home because it shut the city. The city just shut down. And fortunately for us, we had already gone shopping for provisions. I somehow managed to get Christmas dinner that year. My brother fried turkey. So we have food and stuff, but, you know, we had all these big old plans what we're going to do to, you know, so Alex can see the city. And I'm like, well, you just have to make a trip, you know, another trip out here. But I love Atlanta. Could I live in Atlanta? No. Why? Because it's in Georgia.
Well, and Georgia does have its little problem. They're getting ready to pass their own, if they haven't already, they've passed a hate bill like West Virginia has.
Oh, what is their hate bill?
Well, George Takei has already come out, and well, I don't mean came out, that's been a while now. But he noted that it's soon going to be his husband Brad's birthday, and for Brad's birthday, he would like for everybody to write to the governor of Georgia and say, hello. Once your teabagging asshole legislature passes this religious hate law and you sign it into law, we just want to let you know that Atlanta won't be getting any more conventions.
Okay. What is it? They're saying that they can't serve people.
Everybody gets to not serve somebody.
Oh, okay.
Did anybody hear Kasich's comment last night in one of the few opportunities where he got to talk, and he was talking about that exact sort of legislation?
Yeah, where he said, if you do commerce, do commerce.
Yeah.
If you don't...
Say a prayer for them after they leave. Yeah.
Yeah, which is reasonable, which makes him, if this were not the year that the Republicans decided to...
lose their collective mind?
Well, or have their public... I don't know, meltdown. Well, you know, he would have been the reasonable one. And I fully expect at some point that Jebbia, because Jebbia's still mad at little Marco, and he wouldn't pee on Cruz to put out a fire. So I figure at some point Jebbia's going to throw his delegate to Kasich.
Yep.
Well,
both of them.
Hasn't he pretty much trashed Ohio, or am I thinking about...
No. Kasich won't win his own state.
I get confused sometimes with Wisconsin.
He sounds like that a little bit. He's got kind of that kind of an accent, Midwestern.
Yeah.
Well, Kasich's problem in Ohio.
Kasich and Carson are still in this, right?
Oh, yeah. What, Ron?
Yeah, well, Kasich's problem in Ohio is that for years they've had no immigration controls at all. And they've allowed all those people from Kentucky and West Virginia to move up there to get those jobs. And now they're going to hang his libertarian ass out to dry.
He should have built a wall on the southern border, Ron.
Yeah, yeah. But a lot of miners, I mean.
That was the, probably the most awesome thing I've heard all day. No immigration control. Hilarious.
That was good.
Oh, and hey, we have just we've just landed at the top of the third hour, so we've got an hour of conversation left, and this would be a nice time for me to point out, first of all, thank you to everybody who's gotten us almost halfway done with our fundraising for the evening. We've got $280 to go, 28 at 10, 10 at 28, 20 at 14, 40 at 7, 80 at 350, at what it, no, but there's $280 of fundraising to go, and it really, well, if we don't do this part of it tonight, then we're almost going to be impossible for Moran Monday as far as our, as beating the Swede 2 months in a row.
Oh, while I'm thinking about it, let's go down $100. Did you hear me?
No, I didn't.
$100 challenge.
And
I was like,
"Your volume's gone way down, Tracy."
That's weird. Can you? Okay, $100 challenge.
Okay, so that time Sparky talked over you.
$100 challenge, Bob.
Okay, thank you. I don't have my hearing aids in. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you very kindly. So that would, if Tracy's $100 challenge is met, that'll leave us with $80 to go to finish the evening, and that's huge.
Huge. Like his ego, nothing else. Oh, sorry. So let's see. We got, so is Donald Trump going to be the Republican nominee for President of the United States?
I don't know. Angry Indian sent me his top 7 endorsements.
Yeah, this is fun. Read those off. That's fun.
Number 1 is David Duke. Number 2 is Christie. Number 3 is Palin. Number 4 is Dennis Rodman. Then Gary Busey, Mike Tyson, Alex Jones.
Mike Tyson.
Did Meatloaf endorse the Donald?
He's not on the list. And Teresa Giudice, I guess. I don't know how to say it. It's G-I-U-D-I-C. Never heard of her.
She's around. Judas.
Jersey wives, I think.
Yeah, Judas.
She went to this guy to jail?
Yeah. She went to jail for tax evasion along with her husband, I think. They alternated so that the kids wouldn't be without a parent at any time.
See, again, oh my God. Now, had they been a different color, I can't even imagine the judge saying, well, you know, you picked because, you know, we don't want to break up a black family or anything like that. So, you know, we're going to just make sure that there's somebody there to take care of your kids while one of you are in jail. What the hell is that?
White privilege.
See, and here today brought to you by white privilege.
There you go.
Oh my God! When I heard that, I just screamed. I just like, hey, what?
Like, yeah. Well, it's kind of funny because, you know, I remember there was an episode of The Apprentice where, you know, Donald's big decision was, who do I fire today? Is it going to be Gary Busey or Meatloaf? I mean, that, as if that was like a world, earth-shattering decision to make, you know? So.
Well, I did kind of figure out, I think, why Christie jumped in.
So he could stay relevant?
No. Chris Christie, if Trump is the president of the United States of America.
No.
Chris Christie wants to be attorney general so he can go in and just put paid once and for all to any investigations of any of his shady dealings as governor of New Jersey.
Right.
Makes sense to me. Plus, I mean, he's a former U.S. attorney for New Jersey, so he's like, you know, he likes that stuff. You know, he likes to be in charge of, you know,
yeah.
the legal branch.
Oh, he thinks he's a veritable he thinks he's a veritable Clarence Darrow.
Right.
Hey, a little further announcement. After Tracy announced her challenge, which if it is met, will knock us down to only $80 to go. Then Ron kindly said that if the challenge is met, then he'll finish off the last $80. So we've got a plan here. All we have to do is find the folks to match Tracy's $100. And hey, it's now there's only now $90 to go. So thank you.
By the way, can I jump back to an earlier topic? We went into multiple nested digressions, but we were talking weather earlier.
Yes.
And I sent a note to Sparky that my daughters lived in the Oakland, Berkeley area for at least 3 years now. And every winter, I ask her at least once, so have the hills turned green yet? And she always says, no. And after, I think it was last year, she said, Dad, you're getting old. I know you lived here for several years, but the hills don't turn green in the wintertime. She sent me a note a while back going, Dad, I was wrong. The hills turned emerald green, and it's soft and it's lovely. And I understand why you thought it was so beautiful. I no longer think you lost it.
Nice.
Yeah.
The hills, right when you get to Vallejo and stuff, at the right time of the year, they're beautiful. Oh,
they're just gorgeous, yeah. It's like going to Ireland almost, except, well, it ain't Ireland. It's California.
Well, everything's green around here, Ron. The leaves are starting to bud out on the trees.
Yeah, we've got the apple blossoms blooming in the front yard of my apple tree. So.
Well, the almonds are all blooming up here.
Yeah.
Well, I suspect we're at least a couple of weeks away from that up here in Ottawa.
Well, it's worth remembering that we only know that it's actually, up toward the upper Midwest. You only know that spring has come when the flamingos return to Madison.
Yeah. We talking the plastic flamingos people put in their front yards in the spring? Is that it?
And all over the hill there at the Maine.
But
hey, good news. Good news. Tracy, your challenge has been met and extended. I just had a note from Darlene who said, Tracy's $100 challenge met. I was on the same wavelength with our lady taxi driver with a challenge. So awesome. I'll meet hers. And so if someone will carry that forward, we will be well on the way to, and we'll be well on the way to knocking off Moran Monday. And beating the Swede.
Nice. Ooh.
And remember, last month we beat the Swede, and it resulted in an extra $50. This month, if we beat the Swede, it becomes $60, and that means that in March it'll be $70 if we beat the Swede.
Pretty soon you can get that Gulfstream 5, Bob.
I'm thinking it's probably going to be more like a Gulfstream trailer. And a really old one that's probably on blocks. Yeah, and Marty points out that, yes, the trees are blooming, and I'm sneezing and sniffling.
Well, I'm
getting
ready to set. I could tell when the time is about to change because it's 5 o'clock out here, and it's not pitch dark. So we've been having some magnificent weather. I hate to rub it in, Bob, it's like in the 80s, which drives me crazy because I like it when it's cooler. It's been too warm. And, you know, then we're probably going to have some stupid, you know, crazy 100,000 degree weather in summertime. It's just really annoying. And you're like, shut up, Tracy. I know.
But you know what? No, honest to God, though, you know, I've got a January birthday, and the loveliest January I have ever spent in my entire life. And this is, and to be fair, I also spent a birthday a few years back on the Libboat cruise down in the Caribbean, but my white ass got fried. I looked like Captain fucking Pike. Okay. You know, beep, beep, beep. But the loveliest, and I mean, it was nice because it was warm and everything. But the loveliest January I have ever spent was my one trip to San Francisco. That was my perfect weather.
Yes.
And you know, that was the same trip where our buddy Tom took me out aboard his wooden sailboat out on San Francisco Bay. And you know, the idea of being out on San Francisco Bay, and all I needed was like a little nothing windbreaker.
Yep.
Absolutely. I could take that all day long.
Twice on Sundays. Twice on Sundays, right? I like our weather. Like I have this thing about, because I can't stand it too hot, right? Because you know, I just can't. Regardless of what they say about me being, you know, my folks being from Africa, I don't do heat. I don't like it. And I'm one of those people who, if I could turn on my car and have the air conditioning going before I got into the car, that would be me. They made those remotes for me. But of course, I don't have a car like that. I don't like it because at least when it's cool or cold or whatever, I can just add layers. You know, that's fine. You can just add layers and, you know, pretty much get yourself comfortable. But when it's hot, there ain't shit all you can do but sweat. You know, when it's so hot that you sweat.
Oh, no. Time out. You can also burn.
That's true. And I don't. I mean, not that I can't. But I don't.
Devin wants to know if I made it by Starfleet Academy. No, when I was there, yeah. it hadn't been built yet, Devin. So, and I didn't have my weigh up machine with me.
Why don't you? Let's see. No, I. Oops. Why don't you go inside? Because I have some Motrin for you. Why don't you go inside and get some Gatorade, and then come back so I can give you your pills.
Sounds like you managed your destination, Tracy.
Yes, I am here. I just gave. We're early. I intentionally left early so I could because I didn't know how bad traffic. Well, I had an idea how long it would take because the game doesn't start until 7, but he has to be here an hour before the game. And so we're playing at the Toyota Sports Center, the official. Something or another, the LA Kings.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that's where the game is today. Last week's game was, where were we, in Anaheim. The week before that, we were in Riverside. I have to give much props to hockey parents because or just any sports parents, period, but especially hockey parents.
Yeah, sort of like Sarah Palin, right? She was a hockey mom.
Oh, see, why are you messing with me?
I couldn't help it. I was just sitting out there.
I don't know. Is it biorhythms or the fact that we're 3 or 4 days past a full moon? There's something about tonight's front porch. It's just a bubble off plum.
Hey, I can even go further off, Bob.
Don't do it.
I'm afraid.
I want to go. I swear to God, I won the pool the other night. You said Gerald got it.
No, you had 645. It was 644.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, close only counts in hand grenades and atomic warfare.
There you go.
Can I jump in with another absolutely weird moment apropos of fuck all?
Absolutely.
I'm traveling down the road today, coming back from the office, listening to an old bluegrass song by a guy named Larry Sparks, who had a line in it about having your shirts made from flour sacks. And fashion wasn't our first priority. And I damn near pulled off to the side of the road because I had went to school. I've got school pictures of shirts made from flour sacks. I may be the only one here that had that experience, but I haven't thought about that for, hell, 20, 25 years. And it just came, you know, pushing 60 years ago that all happened. And but, I'm going, whoa!
And by flour sacks, you're talking about the cotton, yeah.
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 You're not talking burlap.
No. The companies that sold flour put it into some type of cotton with patterns on it.
Yeah.
People buy the flour, wash the hell out of the cloth to make it nice and soft.
And it was. Oh, it was soft.
Oh, yeah. Get those weevils out, too. And then, you know, make shirts out of it. And nobody thought a thing about it at the school I went to. Everybody knew. Nobody said a word.
And you know what? If you could pull that off today, I don't mean the shirt, I mean the making of them, you could probably sell that to suckers in New York or other big cities, you know, 1% pipes, for $500 a shirt.
Mm-hmm.
I got some sewing machines for sale.
It just found Sparky, them on the side of the road or what, Sparky?
No, there's my mom's old sewing machine, and then my wife had two, you know, the little bench portable ones, and then I bought an antique Singer one at a yard sale once off one of my apprentices. He was hard up for money, so I bought the sewing machine for my wife off a yard sale. It's sitting out in storage right now.
So, Sparky, I can't help you. I have about as much interest in learning to sew as I have in getting back into gardening, because we had a half-acre truck patch that we lived off of, between that and a couple of steers and a couple of pigs in the orchard. So I got no interest in sewing. But what
speaking of animals, I know it's spring when the rancher brings his bull back.
Yes, see, the bull's bouncing around in the trailer, right? Going, oh, let me at him.
He's the only thing out in the pasture except for the horses. Sometimes he'll be out in the pasture with the horses, and he follows them around. It's the only time he gets to be around any other animal.
Oh, now that's just sad.
Okay. So what is it? Is it all hand jobs for him the rest of the year or what?
Well, this is the time of the year they're doing the artificial insemination stuff. Oh.
What's the name of the bull?
Well, that's a hand job.
I wouldn't know.
Damned interesting name.
I looked out the north door of the man cave the other day, and there he was.
Cool.
Were the horses nervous?
I was going to say, I'm thinking there's some side eye going on. Get it? Horses, side eye, anybody? Tough crowd.
No, these horses don't even pay any attention to the cows or the bull. Anytime around.
When you get a little head and money, we've got to get an unemployed snare drummer just to work backtrack on Fridays.
Hey, well, you know what? I actually have one of those. I've got a rim shot tucked away somewhere, but... Hey, talk about here is an unlikely serendipitous moment. You brought up your flour sack shirts, Ron.
Okay. I'm kind of embarrassed to bring it up, but it was such a powerful moment.
No, don't be. I mean, no, that's
don't be embarrassed.
No, that's resourcefulness. I mean, that's, you know, that's how our people live.
Let me tell you, we have, you know, the broke. I know broke. Okay, my stepfather, the child molester,
better known as a child molester slash rapist, he used to work at a grocery store out here called Boys Market. And, you know, once the labels come off of cans or a bag of rice or whatever is broken or whatever, you can't sell that. So, and loose grapes and stuff like that. So I was so good at shaking a can with no label on it, I could tell you it was in the can without opening up the can. That's just how good we got with it, okay? I mean, I could shake a can and say, you know, because after a while, when you open yet one more can of dog food, you get good at it, okay? Because it's like, you're opening it up and you think you're going to get something to eat. And it's like, now I have to say,
corn, let it be corn. Let it be corn. Oh, fuck, Alpo. Yeah.
Ah,
oh,
you know?
Tuna. Damn. Cat food.
You know, cat food. You know? You know, I could shake a can and tell you clean peaches.
Have we been dipping into the cheap tequila with the swirly straw here? I'm wondering.
We were the people that was happy about the government cheese. I mean, come on.
That was
the best grilled cheese ever.
Best macaroni and cheese ever. But no, just to turn it back, you might find this to be perhaps an unlikely source, Ron, but I just got a note from Tim from L.A.
Oh.
Who is, he and I are near in age. And he said, flour sack? We had rice sacks turned into shirts and shorts. I remember the Calrose and Cohuco rice bags. My mom made swim trunks out of them, too.
See, there you go.
Small world.
So here on the
ingenuity and determination are the world writ large, are they not?
Look, like I said, my mom back in the day, one thing we needed was some cornmeal, some beans and some rice. Because, you know, just because, you know, back in the day, you know, only pussies would get scared without having, you know, butter and stuff and oil and eggs. Because, you know, well, how are you going to make cornbread? It's like, bitches, you get you some hot water. It's called hot water cornbread. You get you some hot water and you mix up that meal. And if you're lucky, maybe you had a green onion and mixed it into that. And then you fried that shit. Hot water cornbread. You didn't need eggs. I mean, that was highfalutin. You were doing some good eating if you had some eggs and some butter and shit.
Well, see, in my case, where the trauma all came from, Tracy, is that that was how I got many of my clothes. But that's because my mom was saving money to buy real clothes for my sister.
And that was another thing. My brothers hated me because I was the only girl. So I didn't get hand-me-downs.
I got an update on the sewing machine.
Yeah.
GK in Minnesota wants to know how much, and I said I'd send him a picture, and then he can let me know. But he also sent me an update. Bernie's going to be in Minnesota tomorrow, and he's going to be a precinct captain at the caucuses.
Oh, cool.
On Tuesday.
Nice. Now, how many states are Super Tuesday, Bob?
Every bit of a 10 or a dozen, aren't there?
Yeah, I think it's...
I was going to say 51, 11, but...
I think it's 11 or 12.
Did you say 51 states? Okay, come on.
I'm Canadian. Give me a break.
Yeah.
Come on. Okay, Ron, okay. Wait, Ron, you weren't born in Canada.
No.
Okay, so stop.
But I was educated in West Virginia.
Oh, Bobby...
The whole Bob's problem with Cypher and I had my public school education in Alabama, so we'll just blame Alabama for that.
Isn't there a rule though that you can take the hillbilly out of West Virginia, but you can't take the
West Virginia out of the hillbilly? Absolutely, and it's absolutely true. I mean, my parents lived down there for decades, and people still looked at them and said, "You're not from around here, are you?" and as I've mentioned before, the neighbor lady, bless her soul, every time they came up here, she would pick up the mail so it wouldn't pile up and all that stuff. And
And she'd say, well, I hope y'all have a lovely time in Virginia.
Ooh.
30 years. 30 years, 3 and 4 times a year. Hope y'all have a lovely time in Virginia. I think it's a sort of passive-aggressive thing with the Confederate states. They're still angry that we didn't stick around with the old Dominion. Yeah.
Well, someday I'll talk about the embarrassment of arriving in Canada, teaching my first 2-week course in software engineering, and then being sent off for 6 weeks of elocution training.
I think you just told the story there, Ron.
I sold the bottom line, yeah. Up until then, I talked real good, you know. And kinds of good stuff. And,
Time out.
Uh-oh.
Uh-uh. You have been called out by your sister, Ron.
How did I know that was going to happen?
I just got a note from Kelly. Subject line. This is the subject line. This is not me saying anything. This is your sister here.
Asshole?
Subject
asshole?
Line, Ron is full of bullshit. Ron just told a big one. My mom even made my prom dress. I never got store-bought clothes. Ask him who got the remote control airplane for Christmas. Oh, we are into it now.
Oh. Balls in your court, Ron. You gotta respond.
No.
Oh, I think you just got owned.
You just got taught. Oh.
She's only 5 foot and a fucking quarter, she puts it. But she's a force to be reckoned with. So.
Good for her.
So are you confessing error, counselor?
Absolutely not. Nope. Deny.
You have been well taught by your lawyering friends.
Wow.
Well, once that damn wall is built, I'm going to be safe. May not happen until then, but I'll be safe.
That was awesome. In other words,
it does not obviate the fact that I had homemade clothes from flour sacks.
Well, obviously she did too. Your mama made her clothes as well.
Yeah, I know. Well, if you can't pull your sister's chain, who the hell's chain can you pull?
Whoa, stop it. So this was all a setup?
Yay, verily, son.
Well played.
You've been talking about low blood pressure lately. I just thought I would help out, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And hey, more good news. Thank you to David and to Wesley. That's 20% of Darlene's carrying forward met. So there's $80 of that remaining. And that'd take us to halfway done with More and Monday, which is huge.
Huge.
Yep. And considerably increases the likelihood of Swede beating.
It's a Friday on the front porch miracle.
That was some fine English structure there, Bob.
I work at it constantly.
Wait, you know what? It's so funny because I'm listening to you guys talk about, you know, like Ron saying he had to go to elocution courses and stuff like that. So for me, when I would go visit my family down south in Louisiana, Stan, my thing was, oh, you talk so proper. And I'm like, what? I didn't know there was such a thing. I grew up in L.A. This is, that's one of those things when you grow up, and you learn how to speak a certain way. And again, like I tell people all the time, I spent the better part of my life trying to make sure I sounded as white as I possibly could sound. So I would be one of the acceptable ones. God, I'm so... Do you know how much stuff I missed out on? I cannot see all those things I didn't want to be able to do as a black person. I now wish I could do, like, I don't know, roll my neck when I talk to somebody. Popping gum. dancing. my wife had the audacity, the nerve of her. She, we're watching the excerpts from the Beyonce halftime, featuring Coldplay.
I don't want to hear how this ends.
And so, no, it's not a terrible thing. It's because the running joke is she knows I can't dance. And so she's like, are you sure? I said, baby, even if I said, the only way I could move, I said, even if I could dance, I would still wind up in traction if I moved like Beyonce. So no, it's not a terrible thing.
Okay. I mean, I thought it was going to be, well, never mind.
We've
had a couple of other stories, so you know they didn't quite end as pleasantly.
No, yeah, like you know, with slavery all that bad and you know stuff, and you know I see the water bottle where it's the fried
chicken. or the time she looked at you and said, all right, Tracy, I'll try a grit. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, now we're just having fun at Jan's expense, and she's not here to defend herself.
Well, no, it is true, but that's the thing. I there's so many, Bob, look, I wish I could speak Ebonics. Because like I said, I spent so much time trying to be the other. And like I said, I was trying to be the acceptable one. Now, I have to say, I never went like, you know, the Cunnilingus Rice or, you know, Uncle Thomas Clarence route and, you know, Herman Cain. That's his name. See, this is what
Herb.
I love about
Herb. No. We call him Herb around here because that's what Mussolini calls him, Herb Cain.
Herb Cain.
Yeah.
You know, I love my memory because for the life of me, the other day, I could not come up with that Negro's name. And it's like, you know, Cain. And then, of course, you know, our latest boy, you know, Ben Carson and Larry Elder and all these other people who keep thinking that if you act like you can't stand black people as much as they can't stand them, then you'll be okay and they'll let you. And I'm like, you know what? They will never teach you the secret handshake, boo, because it doesn't matter what you say or do, you will always be a nigga. Just like all those gay Republicans, you will always be a fag. You will always be a sodomite. You will always be whatever, you know. And I do not understand this, you know. And like I said, I've never went there. I did catch myself when I was younger, referring to the ghetto faction of my family, because they are factions. And yes, I caught myself realizing I said those people. I actually said that, and I'm like, I said those people. Who the fuck did I think I was?
Well, and all of a sudden, it's not even all the way out of your mouth, is it? And you're going,
Yeah.
Well, you know, this oddly enough, the things that turn into conversations on a Friday here are just a delight to me, and I know they are to a lot of other people. I just had a note from Jules, whom we talked to about Legionnaire's disease a couple of nights ago. Jules said, too funny. My mom and grandmother used to make flour sack clothing as a youth living in the hollers in Kentucky. Neat thing happened in the early 80s when we went to see my great-grandpa. When going through a storage room, my mom and grandmother found some of the flour sack material and took it home to make me some summer dresses.
Again, if people could get their hands on those right now, they would be worth a fortune.
Well, check it out. There's a place in my hometown, and I was thinking about it when I mentioned this. There's a woman from my hometown who, and there's something about that place where I grew up, where people go out into the wider world and do amazing things, and then start talking about coming home. And she wanted to make like unique T-shirts. And made a few, and she had connections to the fashion industry and everything. And lo and behold, wound up going home to the Shoals and has built a damned industry from the ground up, and it's called Alabama Channin, Channin. And she sells, and she created a cooperative of women who knew how to sew in the area, and it's still a thing. because it's that same poverty culture, and taught them what it was she wanted done. And I just happened to hear about it, and I checked it out because, oh, I think Roseanne Cash showed up at the Grammys a couple of years ago wearing her stuff. And everybody went, whoo! And we're talking about skirts that go for 900 bucks.
Mm-hmm.
That have, you know, $1.75 of cloth in them.
Well,
but the people who are doing the piecework are apparently being paid fairly, and she's got this whole campus, and it's an amazing story. But I mean, that's real. That stuff is real, and it is, and there's a hunger for it. By the way, a couple more pieces of mail. The marvelously coherent Diane in Kansasstan. Subject line just says Ron! Exclamation point. Bob, after the hand job comment, Ron claims he's embarrassed to bring something else up. He needs a keeper. and this coming in from our buddy Jay Cruzen. How about we just make it a challenge fest? Here's another $100 challenge. So Jay Cruzen picked up on Darlene and Dave and Wesley and has put it forward. So there's another $100 challenge on the table. And Jay Cruzen says, a note to the Horn family also. Florida can't wait another 4 or 8 years for serious action on climate change. Get your asses out there and work to get Bernie elected. And all I can say to that is amen, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, pass the ammo. Oh, sorry.
Well, no, actually, pass the voter registrations.
Oh, did you? Apparently, Rachel Maddow went off on Democrats and about the, what the fuck, y'all? Why are you not out there registering people? Because apparently, that she said that the voter turnout for Republicans or the in Nevada were just, it was in 4 years in a row, just outdid, you know, the Democratic Party. Now here's the problem. You know, we could, you know, even if Bernie does get the Democratic, you know, nomination and becomes our candidate, it won't do us any good if motherfuckers don't get out and vote.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, part of the problem is, you know, the right wing had a coordinated effort to get rid of Acorn because they were registering a lot of poor folks to vote, and they ordinarily, you know, vote Democratic. And without them around this election cycle, you know, it, you know, where is the organized group that registers voters for Democrats?
And check this out, okay? In Wisconsin recently, they just had a primary for a state Supreme Court justice seat. All right. Also recently was the anniversary of the raising of the American flag on Mount Suribachi during the Battle of Iwo Jima, which was a vile and bloody affair in which a whole bunch of Marine lives were wasted because Iwo Jima turned out to not even be strategically important.
But we got a statue.
Yeah, right.
Hey, don't tell that to wounded B-29 pilots.
Well, it didn't even go on to be, you know.
We got a movie. John Wayne was in the movie, right?
But wait.
They were able to start flying P-51s out of Iwo Jima.
Okay.
I know my World War II history, Bob.
Okay, well, I mean, I do too, some as well. And there's this, but wait, there's a larger story here. So there are still a small number of people who fought in that bloody affair. And one of them, 90 years old, went to go and vote in the Wisconsin Supreme Court primary a week or so ago.
Oh, God.
He's 90 years old. He doesn't have a driver's license.
He better not have a driver's license at 90.
He is the uncle of another member of the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, Justice Ann Walsh Bradley. He is her uncle.
He went to vote,
and with the Koch brothers' voter suppression, voter ID law, They did not allow him to vote.
Oh.
Wait, it gets worse. It gets worse. I remember a while back when a similar story surfaced out of Texas, it outraged our buddy Roger in Oregon, because Roger is a Marine vet, and there was a similar story there, and it just absolutely devastated him. Because here's what happened. The 90-year-old Iwo Jima veteran, who did not have a driver's license, did have a photo ID from the VA.
That's government issue, last time I checked.
He presented that at the polling place, and they said, "We're sorry, this is not an acceptable form of identification. You, sir, Iwo Jima veteran, do not get to vote."
Wow. And we thought that we defeated the fascists in World War II, didn't we? I think they came back here and populated the Republican Party.
Now, I have a question. What is the Democrat? See, this is the kind of shit that makes me crazy, and I'm not as politically astute as all y'all and all that. How for never? What the fuck is going on?
That's a 90-year-old white man, okay?
That's what I'm saying. When a 90-year-old white man can't vote, what's going to happen with the brothers and the sisters, okay? I mean, didn't we get enough of that shit back in 2000? When you just erased an entire group of people off the voter rolls and nothing was done?
But this isn't chance. That's what, you know, kills me. People are actually trying to keep people from voting, you know, just like they're trying to destroy education, trying to screw up the budgets. All this shit is a plus for Republicans.
It's the long con. I think, Bob, didn't we talk about this?
Yeah, we did. We did.
And this is
40 years in the making.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the only way the Republicans can win, because, is to cheat and to basically, you know, suppress voters from being able to vote. That's their game plan, because the fewer the people that vote, the more chance they have to influence the outcome of the election.
Yeah.
You know, like that cat said in that church in like 1979 or whatever, the start, even before the Reagan Revolution. I'm trying to remember the guy.
Yeah, I know. I remember that. Yeah, quote.
Hartman always plays him on his show.
Yeah. PR drive voting population down, and when voting population is driven down, Republicans win. That's a paraphrase, but
right. Yeah. He was talking out about against the good government syndrome. No, we don't want everybody to vote. Quite frankly, you know, our influence increases, you know, in proportion to, you know, the vote being suppressed, basically.
Yeah.
Paul Weyrich, I think the guy's name is.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
But, you know,
can I blow you guys' mind?
Sure.
My dad, the last time my dad voted, he was 95 years old, and he kept driving right up to almost his 96th birthday.
That's great.
So.
Well, yeah. There you go.
But that's California, though.
That's California, though.
Yeah.
But my question is, you know, in respect to, you know, Rachel Maddow, what is being done? You know, we have a finite amount of time before, you know, the elections and stuff like this. And we aren't getting, I remember in 2008 and 2007, I was holding voter registration drives. And with the way my schedule is, I just can't do it. But I was out, there's a red line station out, it's a Universal Station. And I was out there with a bunch of people
And it didn't matter if you were if you were a Democrat or Republican. We just registered you to vote.
Yeah.
You know?
I wonder if there was also that the Obama, not electronic, but they used a lot of computer stuff, and they targeted, you know, specific people, I think, to go out and register or to talk to them or something. And that, you know, that I don't think has been used. You know, maybe they'll use it for the general election, but, you know, that's not going on because that, I think, registered a lot of people.
Well, we registered. I mean, like I said, we were, of course, I was a Obama supporter, and this was before, you know, that he became the candidate. But it was just the fact of the matter is, since we were out there getting, and I'm sorry, it should not just be for the general election. It should just be an all the time thing, because, you know, like my son points out that, because he listens to KPFK out here, how Republicans get into power, you know, besides, you know, in the general, they get that local shit. They get on the school boards. They're, you know, in the, you know, the municipal court judges and all these things, that these, those elections that people ignore, you know, the yeah, local elections. And that's how they win, because they know Republicans are going to come out and vote.
Yeah.
But we,
well, you know, that's what I'm afraid of. If people, you know, stay home and pout for either, you know, because Murray won or Hillary won, then the down ticket local stuff is not going to get a Democratic vote, you know?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and being Democrats, we always have to worry about it, because you know what? It does not, I maintain it does not matter who the Republicans nominate. They will walk, crawl, run, creep, wallow, roll, whatever, to get to the polls to vote for the Republican.
They will walk across cold, hot coals.
Yeah, and the thing is, though, we have, there are people on both sides who are at fault in this. I mean, in this case, both sides really do it, and maybe that'll piss some people off, but I've seen it on both sides. I've seen Hilarion fanatics out there screaming Democratic socialist, and he's not a real Democrat, and various and sundry other, you know, just shitty, vile, nasty things. You know, oh, he's got a pack after all, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I've seen people on the Bernie side calling her Shillery, Shitlery, Hitlery, Killery. And you know, not dealing with policy issues, not dealing with positions, but just turning it into nasty ass invective ad hominem crap. And so what's happening, and I personally think it's a bunch of goddamn Republicans on both sides doing all, and, you know, egging people on into it. You're going to have a bunch of whoever the nominee is, you're going to have a bunch of fucking people pouting and saying, "I'm not going." Well, okay, thanks. Thanks for President Trump. And I'm there. I'm just there. I mean, it's okay. Let's put it this way: if you're in a state where it's obvious who's going to do whatever, then you've got carte blanche to stay home.
I have the jury demand, and it wants to know. It wants to know if both sides have requested.
Okay, that might be confidential, so I'm just going to mute that for a second. I don't want that to happen. I simply don't. And on the voting issue, under the subject line conflation, James wrote in and said, "We said election fraud. They equated it with voter fraud. Samey, same." Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I think we're clear now.
Sorry, that guys.
No, it's okay. I just muted. I didn't want any confidences going out or anything.
Yeah, no, just my secretary. I'm gonna file something today, so that's all.
Okay, and by the way, just a final issue to throw out there for consideration. And by the way, because of the carryover from Jay Cruzan's challenge, that means that David and Wesley's contribution becomes the first $20 of the Jay Cruzan challenge now. So that means there's $80 to go in that, which is awesome. At which point we will have knocked out more in Monday, and we will have beaten the Swede before the last day. So there's that. No, with the open carry discussions we've had and everything, I had a back and forth conversation with Tim, and Tim has decided, because I said, you know, these dumbass teabaggers and NRA fanatics and stuff, they forget that keeping bare arms means something besides goddamn guns. And I think maybe it's time to start. It's time for me to just strap on a mighty fine piece of steel and start walking around with a damn sword and see how long it is before some cop or somebody says, "You can't do that. Fuck you, Second Amendment, buddy. I'm an originalist. St. Peter and George Washington both had a sword." So I'm in good company. But Tim upped the ante, and now Tim wants me to go full on samurai. So we're going to put that up. We're going to put that up for we're going to put that all up for a formal Horn Family Community Congregation consideration.
Jenny wants to jump in.
Yeah, hey Jenny.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hey. I didn't get to listen to the old show. I was on the phone and stuff like that. But I was just. You were talking about, I think Tracy mentioned red line, but when the census came through, the remapping of the stuff was called red map. I find that just disturbing, because in Wisconsin, it was like something like 53-47, 53% of the people voted Democratic, 47 Republican, but in our state legislature, it's like the opposite. It drives me crazy. And if you move to Wisconsin, Scott Walker just signed that you can have a switchblade. That's the new thing. The switchblades are now legal in Wisconsin.
Switchblades?
Yeah, switchblades. Yeah, you can have a switchblade.
And
West Side Story? What are we doing? Are we with the Sharks and the Jets? What?
Oh, nice culture call, Tracy.
I know, seriously. And the African-American guy that shot people, maybe gun control will come out of that, because that's why Ronald Reagan signed gun control, because the Black Panthers carried guns, into the state house. So those are just my comments, and I know they're late and we don't have much time, so I'll shut up.
No. I mean, and I would wish, I see that I would, I like the way you were going with that. Well, now that maybe the black guys, we had two. I mean, we've had more than that. We had the guy in the D.C. sniper and Chris, the guy that killed those people out here. And then this other brother out there. But the thing is, that's not enough. And the gun culture is so entrenched in this country that unless, because you're going to remember, if a bunch of black folks get guns, all that is going to happen is they'll just give people more reason, because of the advancing horde. That's going to just lend credence to them, to people having more guns, because, black people.
Sadly, yes. Which brings up another issue. Was it Iowa or Idaho where the teabaggers have introduced legislation to make it legal for children to possess firearms as long as they are properly supervised?
Iowa.
That's what I thought. Because it was Idaho where the teabagger said that in cases of incest, a woman's body can sometimes shut that stuff down. No, really, we're back to that again.
Oh, what, the victorious vagina? What? or the vengeful vagina that can shut. Wait.
The ever powerful vagina.
Yeah, when Uncle Daddy is there rutting on May Eller, her body has a way to keep her from getting pregnant with the incest baby. So that means, of course, we don't have to have exceptions for the life of the mother, incest, that kind of thing, and we can just eliminate abortion altogether.
I didn't know my vagina could do that.
I don't think it can, Tracy. I mean, I'm out on a limb here, but I don't think it can.
Well, fortunately for me, because I was definitely, I'm a survivor of incest/rape. Fortunately, I never got pregnant. And even if I had, I live in California. So there's that. But just the fact that they would even shut it down, oh my God.
Dude apparently did not get the memo. Because, you know, they came out with it, just like, okay, after 2012, it was like, ixnay on the agina vase. Aitre aune. One omor, one orme. Opit stay.
Republicans are fluent in pig Latin?
Well, I think that might be the problem, Sparky.
Well, aren't they
Republicans?
So shouldn't they know pig Latin?
You're banging on all eight tonight, Tracy.
That's a double toaster for you, Tracy.
Oh, damn.
Hey, Bob, I sent you some samurai weapons.
Oh.
Bob, I'm excited for you, and I'm not even seeing the shit. I mean, because see, eventually I'm going to get your happy pink ass out here, and we're going to have, you know, deep fried shrimp tacos. We're going to go to Felipe's and get the original French dip sandwiches.
It took 2 hours and 56 minutes to get to food porn, but by God, we got there. Yeah, see, what y'all don't know is that I've been in hardcore hillbilly mode, so I've got my hair down to my shoulders now, what's left of it. So I got something to work with there on creating the whole top knot thing with the whole samurai going on, and as long as I've got an okay from Tim that I'm not engaging in cultural appropriation.
What are those things that the samurais throw? Is that samurai or is that those are ninjas?
Shuriken.
Yeah, the things you throw like a frisbee, but they're sharp.
Yeah, shuriken. That's shuriken, isn't it?
I don't know.
Shuriken.
Oh, shuriken. Okay.
Oh, bless you. Oh,
damn it, Tim! Where are you when we need you?
He's got finals tonight.
Ah. I mean, he's been emailing with me all along, and because he, of course, you know, Ron, you know, he refers to you as the hillbilly hoser.
No, see, Bob, you know what? See, what's going to happen is I'm going to come into a lot of money. I just feel it because I'm scratching my hand, and I will send you a plane ticket, by God, and we will put you up at Shea Tracy's, Shea Tracy and Jan. In that extra room that Tim's never going to get.
Bob, maybe we'll take you to Dan Tanis as well while you're in L.A.
Yes! We have to take you to Dan Tanis.
Yeah. You've heard of that, right, Bob?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
We have to take you to Dan Tanis. We definitely have to take him to Felipe's. I had to take him to get the deep fried. As much as I don't care about Pink's, we still got to take him to Pink's.
How about a show at the Hollywood Bowl?
Well, depending on what time of the year, but basically the Hollywood Bowl goes until October, so that's definitely doable.
Yeah.
So, I mean, better yet, the Greek.
Oh, the Greek, yeah, it's more.
And, of course, if we do this right, Bob, if we can get you out here in 2017, then you could come with me to go see Hamilton.
Oh, now. And on that, we end. thanks everybody for filling up the fundraising hole for the week. Wow, thank you very kindly, one and all. Got to get out of here in a hurry because Malloy starts at 9 now. Thanks to our all volunteer staff. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, News Ninjas. Feel better, Gene, quickly. Thank you to Ben Birch. Thanks to the hardest working people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all. Have a great weekend.